Go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 21. The title for this morning's message is All Things New, which is fitting because for the foreseeable future over the next, at least for the next few months, we'll be doing something different in terms of how we normally or how I normally do message planning and preparation. For the 2 years that I've been here, I've done a lot of series where I think ahead and think, okay, I'd like to do a series on this topic or this particular book of the Bible, those sorts of things. But instead of doing that, I'm going to do things a little bit differently. So this is actually something called the Book of Common Prayer. This is something I picked up probably at least a year ago or so. It was originally composed in 1789, so it is almost as old as our country itself. And it's been used by many pastors to walk their congregations through the entirety of Scripture. So as you go through numerous years, after 4 years, you've literally went through all of the passages of Scripture in the Bible. So it's very helpful, and I know a lot of pastors that do use it. We are human, and we have our preferences, and it's easy for anyone, including a pastor, to gravitate towards the passages of Scripture that I want to talk about. So if it's me making the selection all the time, we say, okay, I want to preach on this topic, and that's really driven by me. But when you do this, it helps gravitate away from that tendency. So the hope is that by using a lectionary and letting it pick the foundational passage of Scripture for a message, we will all benefit from the entirety of Scripture. So here we go, Revelation chapter 21. Go ahead and stand with me as I read. Revelation chapter 21, I'm going to read the first 6 verses. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life." The word of the Lord this morning. Go ahead and have a seat. This past week, Lori and I were in need of a date night. Whenever I'm going to be gone for a few nights, usually it's like, okay, I'm going to be gone. She's going to miss me severely, so I better take the night before and give her as much time and attention as possible. I was going to be coaching basketball on Thursday and Friday, and I was hoping to coach basketball on Saturday, but we didn't make it that far. And so So Lori and I, in talking, what do we want to do for our date night? We decided we would go and see the Avengers Endgame movie that had come out. Over the last couple weeks, I've been avoiding all of the spoilers. Everybody's been talking about that movie, so I've avoided any discussion about it because I didn't want it to ruin my viewing of it. So after over a decade of Marvel Comics superhero movies, everything was finally in place for an epic conclusion to this superhero story, and it didn't disappoint. The crowd that I viewed this movie with actually reacted to the movie with genuine laughs and genuine tears. And it's the first time that I can ever recall going to a movie and hearing grown men cry. There was a sad part in the end of the movie, which I will not spoil, but Lori was beside me, and she always cries at the movie, so she was crying, and I'm like, okay. But there was two gentlemen to my left, and I heard a sniffle noise. I'm like, was that like maybe an allergy type thing going on beside me? I look over and I see two guys just wiping their eyes and crying. I'm like, wow. And I was ignoring the fact that my eyes were tearing up a little bit. A little bit after that, Lori reached in her purse and she grabbed a tissue and she put it on my lap, and I just swatted it away because I just didn't want that. So I'm fine. I can hold it together. So anyway, so it was a very moving movie. And those guys were probably upper 20s, lower 30s, somewhere around there. So I was amazed that guys would cry over a movie like that. While Avengers Endgame is a brand new movie in theaters, the storyline that played out in that movie is far from new. In fact, the storyline in Avengers is as old as the passage of scripture we just read in Revelation. It is a movie about a world dealing with the reality of death and destruction, all the while wishing there were somehow a way to put it all back together again. And in the middle of that world, there is a collection of people attempting to do that very thing, attempting to right what went wrong, attempting to fix what was broken, attempting to make things like new again. There's a very obvious reason why what is recorded in Revelation resonates deeply with every generation, a reason why every generation believes they are living in the last days. It's because we live in a world where there will always be wars and rumors of wars. And in the midst of the chaos and the death and the destruction of those wars, the minds of people impacted by war start to dream about a new ending, a new heaven and a new earth. History is filled with people who dreamed of a day when there would be no more death, no more dying, no more pain. People who lived through the Revolutionary War, Civil War, World War I, World War II, Vietnam War, and beyond. They can all go to the pages of Revelation and feel like those pages are speaking to their particular situation and bringing a word of comfort about a new day that's coming. This morning, I'd like to share just a few thoughts about Scripture, from Scripture, about that day when all things are made new. And the first thought is really just an attempt to widen our vision and move our thoughts beyond the things that only benefit ourselves. To only talk about our living for forever and being free from pain and death is only to scratch the surface of what that day will entail. This is about the redemption and resurrection of all creation. All 6 days of it, not just the sixth day for us. No death when it comes to animals. No death when it comes to insects. If you've been living for a decade or more and find yourself in awe at the prospect of living forever, imagine how a fruit fly with a lifespan of a couple days is going to feel about the prospect of eternity. They only get a couple days, so eternity is even more massive of an idea for that. I don't know about you, but I don't want to think about fruit flies living forever. Laura and I, because we have garden stuff always going on, we ended up with fruit flies getting into the house, and we have tried for months to get rid of them. So Lori has a little bowl that she puts vinegar and dish soap, and is there anything else in there? Yeah, just water and dish soap and vinegar to attract them and kill them, which I'm very much against killing things, except when it comes to fruit flies. That's my only exception. So if you don't already know this, this weird thing about me, and there are plenty of weird things to know about me, I have a special place in my heart for worms. Following a heavy rain, when worms start to wiggle across paved areas where people walk or people drive, I find myself going around and picking up those worms and throwing them in the grass so they can kind of get back to the dirt and get back to safety. It's something that I used to do at my old job. Since I worked nights, if there was a storm that went through at night, I would go out in the morning. Our dog would want to go outside. The dog we had on the unit, he wanted to go outside in the morning after the rain was done, and I would go along and just flip all these worms either out in the grass or into a cup to take home for my garden. So I would do that at my old job, and I also do that at my new job. There's a path between the building where I work and the residential building where we move in residence. And so people walk back and forth across there a lot in the morning and the afternoon. And so when it rains, the worms start wiggling across that pavement. And I just imagine a worm going along in a wheelchair wheel, just cutting them in half and going on their way. And then people walking and squishing them. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be the first one out there on that pavement in the morning so I can get them out of the way first. Avoid a gruesome death for them. And if that sort of thing, which seems pretty simple, bothers me, then you can imagine how bad the next situation bothered me. Just a couple weeks ago, we had a board meeting over here, and when we finished, I was walking across the parking lot and walking into the backyard of the parsonage, and then I heard one of the most gut-wrenching sounds I've ever heard. Thankfully, I didn't see what was going on, but it was very apparent what was going on, or I have a very good guess at what it was. Coyotes, I've seen coyotes go through the yard. I've seen coyotes get into our yard, and so I know there's coyotes getting around pretty easily around the neighborhood. My guess is that on the other side of my fence in the neighbor's yard, a coyote had caught either maybe a squirrel or a rabbit or a possum, something like that. And so what I heard was an animal screaming for its life. I started yelling and making my way towards the fence in the hopes that my yelling would startle the coyote and make it stop what it was doing and go on its way. And I did for a brief minute. It did stop right after I yelled, right after I was yelling. And but then maybe a few seconds, 4 or 5 seconds later, the screeching started again, and it was just horrible, absolutely horrible. Just a few more seconds and then done. So the screaming did stop for the last time. When Scripture says that all will be made new and there will be no more death and no more dying, it is speaking about those kinds of deaths too. Isaiah chapter 65, which also speaks about a new heaven and an earth, describes it in this way. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox, but dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. And death, in all of its forms, will be a thing of the past when all things are made new. In recent weeks, there have been statements made by someone in our congregation who will not go named because they know who they are, and they have been saying something about bacon in heaven on a regular basis. And here is what I have to say about bacon in heaven. You will not be eating bacon when the kingdom of God has arrived in its fullness and all has been made new. And if you want to cry about there not being bacon in heaven, you better cry now because there's no crying in heaven either. Whoever created the image on the screen, I looked up bacon in heaven. You put in bacon in heaven and that's what you get. You get a picture of bacon just filled with, or heaven filled with bacon. Whoever created the image is a liar and they're giving a false hope, so don't believe it. I don't care how delicious it might sound, but death is done. Lions become vegans. Wolves and lambs will enjoy their meal in safety and in peace because all things are made new. There's a huge difference between making things new or making new things and making things new. We're very familiar with making of new things. When you go to Walmart or Target or Target Boutique, as my wife likes to call it, you encounter aisle after aisle of new, brand new things. With each passing year, you can go to a car dealership and see what new cars and trucks are online. In a message many months ago, I shared a picture of my cell phone collection. It's just a series of upgrades, one after the other. Each year, a new phone comes out so that people can upgrade to a newer and better phone, but it is a different phone than the one they had. When it comes to old things and new things, what we do as consumers is we throw away the old and purchase anew. We replace. When it comes to the things that we're replacing, the best that we can ever do it, even attempt to do, is to maybe recycle or repurpose what was used. But eventually that thing is going to make its way into the garbage, just extending the life just a little bit. When my shoes get worn down, there is nothing I can do to make them as good as new. When you break a plate and it shatters into 1,000 shards of glass, there is nothing you can do to bring it back. We throw things away. Someone comes in, someone picks it up, and they move it away, and we forget about it. Even though we don't see them anymore, see those items, the old, the worn, the broken, and the discarded are not really gone. It's gone somewhere else, but it hasn't gone away. When we read in Revelation chapter 21, that there is a new heaven and a new earth because the old heaven and the old earth has passed away, how are we to understand what's happening there? Are the old heaven and the old earth put into a cosmic trash bin and sent off to the trash heap while we get situated into a brand new heaven and a brand new earth? Or does something else happen? How we answer that question has tremendous implications on how we should treat this planet we live on right now. If, when all is said and done, this world is thrown into the garbage, then there really is no reason whatsoever to take care of it. If its ultimate destiny is destruction, then slowing down that process by recycling or repurposing really is just trying to avoid the unavoidable. But what if the passing away of the old and the arrival of the new is a bit different than that? What if the transition from the old to the new mirrors what the Apostle Paul describes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 when he talks about new creations in Christ? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. I cannot speak for anybody else here, but when I became a new creation in Christ, there was not an old body getting buried somewhere when the new creation arrived. The passing away of the old and the arrival of the new happened in the twinkling of an eye, but it did not involve the physical destruction of the former me. It involved the destruction of a former way of life and the arrival of a new way of life. I think the passing away of the old creation and the arrival of the new creation in terms of heaven and earth will be much the same as that. In the twinkling of an eye, the old ways of an old world that is broken and in disrepair will be gone, and what will remain will be a world that is back to operating the way it was intended to operate, the way it was created to operate. We replace things, but we are created by a God of all things who has the power to redeem those things. And the way that God redeems this world means that the way we treat this world matters. The scripture we read from this morning does not quote the one seated on the throne as saying, "I will be making all things new." He is not quoted as saying, "It will be done." The one seated on the throne says, "I am making all things new," which means that something is going on already, right now. There are new creation things happening in our midst. Only an uncaring and irresponsible homeowner would sit and watch their property fall apart until it got to the point where you just planned on setting a match to it, letting it burn up, and start over. God's plan isn't to sit and watch the world destroy itself from a distance, only to put it out of its ministry, out of its misery in its final moments. In John chapter 5, verse 17, after healing a lame man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus says that his Father is always at his work to this very day, and that he too, is working. The work that Jesus was doing was a new creation work. The healings that Jesus performed were more than just miracles showing who he was as the Son of God. Jesus informed people that the kingdom of God was in their midst, and when the kingdom of God is present, you begin to see new creation things happening. Things happening where there is no more blindness, no more lameness, no more hunger, and no more thirst. There's a very good reason why God's people need to be a part of new creation work right now instead of just waiting for it to happen later on. Because we had a hand in the mess that needs cleaning up. This world did not get this way, as Nancy was describing. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of bad things going on in the world that's been going on for a long time. That didn't happen by accident. That happened because of us. Because of our fall, creation has suffered. Our own disobedience and the disobedience of our ancestors has had negative repercussions throughout all of creation. Redemption is a reversal of that curse that heaven and earth experienced because of the fallenness of mankind. Redeemed people are a blessing to every part of that world. And that's why I believe there is a special place in heaven for gardeners. I know there's a lot of gardeners here, so that helps. That's something I've been able to do over the last few years, spending time gardening. Taking care of the earth harkens back to the original job duty given to Adam and Eve. We are supposed to be the stewards and the caretakers of this world. Redeemed people joyfully reclaim that role and seek to be a blessing to this world, the blessing that God desired them to be all along. Brokenness may have entered the world because of us, but by the grace of God and the power of God, we have the chance to help make it right again. Now, I don't know about you, but you and your desires, but I would love to be a part of making that world better, making that world new again. Whenever I reach the end of my days, I hope that God will have somehow used it to advance some small part of this world so that it looks a little bit more like the kingdom of God. Being able to do that only happens after becoming a new creation in Christ first. Old creation people cannot do new creation work. Old creation people have no reason to care for this world and what happens to it. New creation people do. We are to care about it because God created it. We are to care about it because the new heaven and the new earth we are going to inherit is right here. God's kingdom is coming here. And whoever coined the phrase, "This world is not my home," has some explaining to do. This broken world is not where God's children will spend eternity, but it will be the place where it will be the place that will be our home when everything is made new. This world will be that place where there is no death or dying or crying. As new creations in Christ, let's do our part in making all things new. This morning, we're going to close with the song, Cleanse Me, because a clean heart is the place to start. New creations who are purified and set free from sin are what this world desperately needs. Being cleansed and being made new again makes it possible for us to be more than just a blessing in the midst of brokenness. We can be a blessing that redeems that brokenness and makes things new again. So go ahead and stand. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll close in song this morning. Oh, so I'll pray. Oh, is it okay to pray? Oh, I was going to pray first, then we can do a song, if that's okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this world you gave us. You entrusted it to us, and we have the opportunity to be a blessing to it. I pray that you would do a work in us that has repercussions for the world around us. Give us the same care and concern for it that you had when you created it. We pray that you bless our efforts to do that. And so we ask for that this morning. In the power of your Spirit, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Amen.